Part 2. In this part, you will hear 3 short talks. After each talk, you will hear 6 questions about it. Before each talk begins, you will have time to preview the questions. You will hear each talk and the questions once. You can take notes if you wish. Choose the correct answer, A, B, C, or D. Now you will hear the first talk. Look at the questions. Listen to a marketing consultant talking to retailers.
Good morning, and welcome to the first of our series of talks on space planning. I'm going to start by explaining how marketing consultants like me gather information about customer shopping habits and then move on to describe some space planning techniques. Space planning techniques aim at getting customers to stay in the store longer, increasing the likelihood that they'll stumble across something else they might want to buy. To date, various methods have been used to investigate customer shopping patterns. First is the ubiquitous, simple, and direct evaluation questionnaire. Then retailers use surveillance cameras that film shoppers as they move around the aisles. And finally, there are technologically sophisticated tools. Software, like OptiSpace, receives data from the electronic checkouts on how well a product is selling in a particular position. Wi-Fi fingerprinting tracks the Wi-Fi signal of a smartphone in the store, revealing where a customer goes. Now, research on consumer behavior when entering a store shows that products placed just beyond the entrance are far from being bestsellers. The average customer needs a transition zone area so they can familiarize themselves with the new environment. When coming out of this area, customers consistently turn right and continue to navigate the store in a counterclockwise direction, so design professionals recommend displaying high-margin merchandise here. Video surveillance demonstrates that customers in the U.S. are likely to move on from the items they are interacting with if touched, bumped, or otherwise interrupted. So fewer of them enter narrow aisles compared to the more expansive, accessible walkways. Once their store layout is finalized, many retailers rush into purchasing and installing fixtures, then fill them with products. According to retail store design experts, this is the part of the process where they tend to put the cart before the horse. Far too often, the fixtures chosen aren't ideal for displaying a range of products in a particular space. But this is something we'll discuss the next time we meet.
Number 21. What is the content of the talk? Number 22. What does the speaker imply about the questionnaires as a research method? Number 23. Which space planning tool uses data from what consumers buy? Number 24. Where do design professionals recommend putting high-margin merchandise? Number 25. What do surveillance videos suggest about American shoppers? Number 26. What does the speaker mean when he says,
"Put the cart before the horse"?
Now you will hear the second talk. Look at the questions. Listen to the head of a residential college talking to students.
Good morning and welcome to Peyton House. For those of you who may not know, Peyton House is one of the oldest residential colleges of St. Paul's University. The building you are now standing in is part of the original house of the family of John Peyton, founder of Peyton University. The house was converted into a residential college soon after John Peyton's daughter, the last surviving member of the family, passed away in 1952. You have already received your Peyton 1 card with your room allocation. You'll notice that your room number either begins with the letter J, K, or L. Each of these letters refers to a different wing in the college, and they have been chosen to honor the members of the Peyton family, John, Kate, and Laura. There are two floors on each wing, and this is the second number you see in the room number. And the last number is the individual room number. Now, if you want to wash your clothes, there are coin-operated washing machines and dryers in the basement. The charge is $1.45 for washing and $1.45 for drying if you decide to use your Peyton 1 card. Problems regarding these machines should be directed to the 1 card office. Information about the availability for laundry machines can be found at www.laundryview.com/Peyton. Overnight guests, that is persons staying beyond 2 a.m., are permitted to stay in the assigned room of the host with consent of all roommates. It is mandatory that any student hosting guests will be in residence while their guests are present. Guests are allowed for a total of 3 nights, which can be consecutive, in a 14-day period. The college reserves the right to enter any room at any time deemed necessary, whether or not the resident of the room is available. This will only be done to ensure that residents comply with college policies, including health and fire regulations, maintenance of security, and necessary building maintenance.
Number 27. What is the purpose of the talk? Number 28. What was Peyton House originally built as? Number 29. Why does the speaker mention letters and numbers? Number 30. What does the speaker say about washing machines and dryers? Number 31. What is not necessary for overnight guests to stay in a room? Number 32. Why would the college enter a residence room? Now you will hear the third talk. Look at the questions. listen to an expert talking to parents at a kindergarten parent-teacher conference.
Dear parents, I want you to start thinking about your phone that's very likely in your pockets right now. Now, imagine it in the hands of your 4-year-old. Are you anxious that this will stunt your children's social and mental growth? Well, I'm here to challenge this attitude. Now, I was perhaps an unlikely champion for this cause. I studied children's literature and was going to work with kids and books. Until I met Sophia, when I was involved in a research study about preschoolers and websites. She'd never seen a computer before, and when I opened up the screen, she stopped the mouse on a character named X, the owl. The owl lifted his wing and waved at her. Sophia leaped up and started waving frantically back at him. And this was a visceral human experience, exactly appropriate for a 3-year-old. 50 years ago, the same debate was raging about television. And then Fred Rogers, the host of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, looked out from the screen and held conversations with the children about feelings, challenging society to look at television as a tool that could promote emotional growth. For those of you who worry that screens will keep your kids from getting up and moving, this is just a myth. Zoologist brothers Chris and Martin Kopp, who host a show about animals, created a game about bats. The kids just loved seeing themselves on screen with wings when playing the game. And when it was over and the screens were turned off, they kept flying around the room like bats and veering left and right to catch mosquitoes. And they started asking questions about birds when seeing one, like, how does this bird fly differently than a bat? The digital technology prompted embodied learning that kids can take out into the world. The number 2 fear is that playing games on these screens is just a waste of time and will distract children from their education. To that, I say...
Number 33. What common view about cell phones does the speaker want to discredit? Number 34. What does the speaker mean when she says,
I was perhaps an unlikely champion for this cause?
Number 35. What is not true about Sophia? Number 36. Why does the speaker mention television? Number 37. What does the speaker say about Fred Rogers? Number 38. What point is the speaker trying to make with the example of the bad game? End of part 2.